There's a lot less memory work than what it used to be, okay? I had somebody just tell me yesterday at the care center, an adult going to see her mother, who's this adult's older than me. She went through confirmation here at this church. She said, "Oh my, a day of fear and trepidation. I remember it well." But she went on to say, and she's a professor at SDSU today in Brookings, she said, "But when I look back on that day, I believe that is one of the things God used to help me to be a college professor." So, praise the Lord. All right, you all ready? Yeah, you'll do good. Okay, we'll start with Micah. Micah, what does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His Word?
Hebrews 4:12, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing body and soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart."
Good. Ashlyn.
2 Peter 1:20-21. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had origin in the will of man, but man spoke it from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit."
Good. Ethan.
Proverbs 30:5-6. "Every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar."
Good. Ellie.
Psalm 119:89-105. "Your word, O Lord, is eternal, and it stands firm in the heavens. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Right. Thank you. Austin.
John 1:1-2. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning."
Good. Zoe.
John 1:14. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Right. Jackson.
2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work."
Good. Jaden.
Psalms 119:103-104. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path."
Right. Good. Very good. Okay, these questions they'll answer together in unison. The Bible is divided into how many parts?
The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right. How many books are in the Old Testament?
39 books.
How many books are in the New Testament?
27 books.
What is the name of this local church?
Salem Reformed Church.
Who was the founding pastor of this local church?
Jacob Orth in 1882.
Good. Who is the head of the one holy Christian church that we speak of in the Apostles' Creed?
Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right. And what are the six seasons of the church year?
Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost.
Right. Very good. Okay, and then we're going to go, the rest will be in the Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, which that was written in the year 1563. So, 460 years ago, again, coming out of the Reformation, a tool to use to teach the children and adults. Start the basics, you'll see our comfort, and then we see how do we fall into our sinful condition, and how did we get out of our sinful condition, and then we go through that and into the Apostles' Creed. It's 129 questions. We'll go through about half of that, okay? All right. So question number one, together in unison, what is your only comfort in life and in death?
That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has wholly paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head, without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation, because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him.
Very good. Okay, Micah, so what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort?
Three things: how great my sin and misery are, how I am set free from my sin and misery, how I am to praise God for such deliverance.
Good. Ashlyn, how do you come to know your misery?
The law of God tells me.
Right. Ethan, what does God's law require of us?
Christ teaches us this in Matthew 22:37b-40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Good. Ellie, can you live up to all of this perfectly?
No. I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor.
Austin, did God create people so wicked and perverse?
No, God created them good and in his own image, that is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that they might truly know God their Creator, love him with all their heart, and live with him in eternal happiness for his praise and glory.
Good. Zoe, then where does this corrupt human nature come from?
The fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are born sinners, corrupt from conception on.
Right. Jackson, but are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil?
Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God.
Right. Jaden, but doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring in his law what we are unable to do?
No, God created humans with the ability to keep the law. They, however, tempted by the devil and reckless disobedience, robbed themselves and all their descendants of these gifts.
Good. Micah, will God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished?
Certainly not. He's terribly angry about the sin we are born with, as well as the sin we personally commit. As a just judge, he punishes them now and in eternity. He has declared, cursed is everyone who has not continued to do everything written in the book of the law.
Right. Ashlyn, but isn't God also merciful?
God is certainly merciful, but he is also just. His justice demands that sin committed against the supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul.
Right. Ethan, according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor?
God requires us justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of his justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or another.
Yes. Yeah, Ellie, can we pay this debt ourselves?
Certainly not. Actually, we increase our guilt every day.
Yeah. Austin, can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us?
No. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for what a human is guilty of. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it.
Right. Zoe, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then?
One who is truly human and truly righteous and is more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also a true God.
Yes. Jackson, why must this mediator be truly human and truly righteous?
God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sin, but a sinner can never pay for others.
Right. Jaden, why must this mediator also be true God?
So that by the power of his divinity, he might bear the weight of God's anger in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life.
Right. Micah, and who is this mediator, true God, and at the same time truly human and truly righteous?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given to us to set us completely free and make us right with God.
Yes. Ashlyn, how do you come to know this?
The Holy Gospel tells me that Christ began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets. He portrayed it by the sacrifice and ceremonies of law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own dear son.
Good. Ethan, are all saved through Christ, just as all were lost through Adam?
No, only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his blessings.
Right. Ellie, what is true faith?
True faith is not only the knowledge and conviction that everything in God's word is true, it is also a deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation.
Right. Austin, what then must a Christian believe?
Everything God promises us in the gospel. That gospel is summarized in the articles of our Christian faith, created beyond doubt and confessed throughout the world.
Yes. Okay, and so all together, what are these articles that are summarized in the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
They say that's what I do in church when I say the Apostles' Creed and the dip. Well, they're the first class to ever do it that way today. Okay. All right. Zoe, how are these articles divided?
Into three parts: God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our deliverance, and God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification.
Right. Jackson, since there is but one God, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God.
Right. Jaden, why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior?
Because he saves us from our sins. Salvation cannot be found in anyone else. It is futile to look for salvation elsewhere.
Good. Micah, why is he called Christ, meaning anointed?
Because he has been ordained by God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who perfectly reveals the secret counsel and will of the Father for our deliverance. Our only high priest, who set us free by the one sacrifice on the cross, and who continually pleads our cause with the Father, to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who guards us and keeps us for the freedom he has won for us.
Right. Good job. Ashlyn, but why are you called a Christian?
Because by faith I'm a member of Christ, so I share his anointings. I'm anointed to confess his name and to present to myself as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good consciousness against sin and the devil in this life, afterwards reigning with Christ over all creation for all eternity.
Good. Ethan, why is he called God's only Son when we also are God's children?
Because Christ is the eternal and natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ.
Right. Ellie, why do you call him our Lord?
Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has set me free from sin and the tyranny of the devil, and has bought us, body and soul, to be his very own.
Yes. Austin, why did Christ have to go all the way to death?
Because God's justice and truth demand it. Only the death of God's Son can pay for our sin.
Right. Zoe, why was he buried?
His burial testifies that he really died.
Yes. Jackson, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die?
Our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sinning and is our entrance into eternal life.
Good. Jaden, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us?
First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death, so that he might make us share the righteousness he won for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already now resurrected to a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection.
Good. Micah, what do you mean by saying he ascended to heaven?
That Christ, while his disciples were watching, was lifted from earth to heaven, and will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead.
Yes. Ashlyn, but isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as he promised us?
Christ is truly human and truly God, but in his human nature, Christ is not now on earth with us, but in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment.
Right. Good. Ethan, why the next words, and is seated at the right hand of God?
Because Christ ascended into heaven there to show that he is head of his church, and that the Father rules all things through him.
Good. Ellie, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit?
First, he as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, he has been given to me personally so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings comfort me and remain with me forever.
Yes. Austin, what do you believe concerning the Holy Christian Church?
I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member.
Right. Zoe, what do you understand by the communion of saints?
First, that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it a duty to share these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members.
Right. Jackson, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins?
I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, in his grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment.
Yes. Jaden, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you?
Not only my soul will be taken immediately to Christ its head, but even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body.
Right. Micah, how does this article concerning life everlasting comfort you?
Even as I have experienced in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so that I may have a perfect blessedness, which of no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has ever imagined, a blessedness which I am to praise God eternally for.
Good. Ashlyn, what good does it do you, however, to believe all of this?
In Christ, I'm right with God and heir to everlasting life.
Right. Ethan, why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God?
It is not because of any value my faith has that Christ displeased of me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God, and I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone.
Right. Ellie, why can't the good we do make us right with God, or at least help make us right with him?
Because the righteousness which can pass God's scrutiny must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to God's divine law. Even the very best we do in this life is imperfect and stained with sin.
Right. Austin, it is by faith that we share in Christ and all his blessings. Where then does that faith come from?
The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. It confirms it through the use of the Holy Sacraments.
Right. Zoe, what are the sacraments?
Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and that he might put a seal on that promise. And this was God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross.
Yes. Jackson, how many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament?
Two, baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Thank you. Jaden, how does baptism remind you and assure you that you are that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally?
Because Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washed away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and spirit wash away my soul's impurity, in other words, all my sins.
Right. Micah are both the word and sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground for our salvation.
Right. The gospel and the Holy Spirit teach us, and the Holy Sacrament assures us that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice on the cross.
Right. Ashlyn, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit?
To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart, so more and more I am dead to sin and live an increasingly holy and blameless life.
Right. Ethan, where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism?
In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of rebirth and the washing away of sin.
Good. Ellie, does the outward washing with water itself wash away sins?
No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanses us from all sins.
Right. Austin, where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup?
In the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Lord's death until he comes."
Good, right. Zoe, who are to come to the Lord's table?
Those who are displeased with themselves because of their sins, but who nevertheless trust that their sins are pardoned and their continuing weaknesses covered by the suffering death of Jesus Christ. And those who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to lead a better life. Hypocrites and those who are unrepentant, however, eat and drink judgment on themselves.
Right. Jackson, we have been delivered from our misery, our sin, by God's grace alone, through Christ, and not because we have earned it. Why, then, must we still do good?
To be sure, Christ has redeemed us by his blood. But we do good because Christ, by his Spirit, is also renewing us to be like himself, so that in all our living, we may show that we are thankful to thankful to God for all that he has done for us, and that he may be praised through us. But we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, so that in our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ.
Right. Good. Jaden, can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent ways?
By no means, Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like is going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Right. Micah, what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion?
Two things, dying away the old self and the coming life of the new self.
Right. Ashlyn, what is the dying away of the old self?
Is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it.
Good. Ethan, what is the coming to life of the new self?
It is a wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to.
Good. Okay. Ellie, what does the Lord say in his law, in other words, in the Ten Commandments?
The first commandment, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me."
Second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, earth beneath, or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God."
The third commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name."
The fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work.
The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery.
Eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Ninth commandment, you shall not give false testimonies against your neighbor.
Tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Good. Ellie, how are these commandments divided?
Into two tables. The first has four commandments, teaching us what our relations to God should be. The second has six commandments, teaching us what we owe our neighbor.
Right. Austin, but can those converted to God obey these commandments perfectly?
No, in this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some of God's commandments.
Right. Zoe, why do Christians need to pray?
Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives us his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them.
Good. Jackson, what did God command us to pray for?
Everything we need spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us.
Yes. Okay, together, in unison, what is this prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jaden, the last question. What does the little word amen express?
Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayers than that what I really desire, what I pray for.
Right. Good job. Amen. Shall we give him a hand? My dear friends in Christ, these young adults have studied the Word of God, the Heidelberg Catechism, and have been instructed in the Christian faith. They are now ready to present themselves for service to Jesus Christ using the gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows. So I have these questions now. These are the I do questions first, okay? As I tell them, oh, when they were little babies, most of them, well, they were all little babies, but... there were a couple that were dedicated and then baptized later. And parents, you know, these are the vows you answered for them at that time. And now they're old enough to understand and answer. So together, do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe in God our Father who calls us into a relationship with himself and with one another? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Third question, I'll ask them each individually. This is the most important decision in all of our lives. Depends where we spend eternity. Micah, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I pledge my allegiance to his kingdom.
Ashlyn, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Ethan, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Ellie, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Austin, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes,
Go ahead.
Yes, I do believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Thank you. Zoe, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen. Jackson, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, and I pledge my allegiance to his kingdom.
Thank you. Jaden, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I do. I believe he is my Lord and Savior, and I pledge my allegiance to his kingdom.
Thank you. Okay, together then, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, who seeks to bring us in closer harmony with the will of God, and who is the one who indwells us as believers? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you receive and profess the Christian faith as it is found in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you promise, according to the grace given you, always to remain a faithful member of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Lord's table, to love and serve God in the world, bearing witness to the risen Lord? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
All right, so to the eighth graders, there's a prayer now in your bulletin. And if you others have bulletins, there'll be a prayer of the congregation that follows that will also be on the screen, whichever you prefer. So eighth graders, if you pray this prayer with me, do you all find it there? Okay. Oh God,
my God, know to me, Jesus Christ, I am not my own, but yours. I give myself to you as your own, to love and serve you faithfully all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen.
The congregation, if you would join in this prayer. Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has made salvation a free gift of grace to all who will believe, empower by your Spirit these young adults to continue to grow and develop their daily walk with you. Give to them the gift of to love others, having joy in serving you. Seek peace above dissension. Show patience in suffering. Help them to display kindness toward all people, goodness in evil times, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, and self-control in all things. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, at this time, I'll ask the eighth graders if you come down. The parents, please come. You can stand behind your eighth grader and the elders. Let's move this over. Brian, can you move that microphone over there, please, for me? Move it out of the way. Yeah, thanks. So you eighth graders can come in a little closer to me here, okay? Ethan, you can come closer. Yep, there you go. Okay. So this is the time where we pray over them. You all did so well. Oh, my goodness. You did very well. It's fun to work with them over the 3 years. It's always incredible to see how much they mature from when they start as sixth graders to when they finish as eighth graders. Such a blessing. So as they've had their favorite verse, as I pray for them and I ask the Lord for a verse for them, given to me in this verse, as well as the one you chose that is in each of your confirmation certificates, okay? Micah, always so full of energy and excitement, which is a good thing. And you have a great future ahead of you that God has planned. Joshua 1:9. God speaking to Joshua before a big task ahead of him, says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this young man standing here. As he's grown into a fine young man, I ask your blessings upon him, that you guide him through his high school years and beyond, that you keep him safe, that he would always have a place, a strong place for you in his heart, to love you and serve you and live for you, Lord Jesus, to honor you. I ask your hand of protection upon him each and every day and his family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ashlyn. Yes, full of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. She's giggling up here right now.
She laughs too much.
She laughs too much. But also a tender heart. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy." How about that? "And I will give thanks to him in song." Let's pray. Father, for Ashlyn, thank you. Yes, that your joy is her strength and you are her salvation. And I thank you, Lord, for just filling her afresh with your spirit today, blessing her and her family, guiding her through her high school years to live for you, to honor you, to make choices according to your word, and blessing her. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of protection upon her and her families, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ethan. Yes, I did baptize this young man in his swimming pool this last summer. That's what he asked for. He loves to act in drama. I hope you do that in high school. You're going to, right? Mrs. Knodel's back here. Although she resigned. Shucks, Betsy. What does God require of you? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. "And now, O Israel," so this verse to you would be, "and now, O Ethan, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Amen. Thank you, Father, for this young man, Ethan. Oh, my, he's grown so much, Lord. When he used to walk down this aisle as a little guy with his blanket in hand for children's sermonette, and now a tall young man, thank you for pouring out your spirit in him and upon him, guiding him through his high school years, Lord, to live for you, to love you and serve you. Help him to make the right decisions, Lord Jesus, and serve you always. Protect him and his family, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Ellie, so kind and tender-hearted and precious. And God loves you very much. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Zephaniah, it's one of those little Old Testament prophets, chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." You like that song, "Mighty to Save"? Maybe you don't know it. You can learn it.
Okay.
"He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." That's what God does. Amen. Thank you, Father, for Ellie. Such a precious young lady, wanting to please you, wanting to be a friend to others. I thank you for her. Thank you for filling her with your spirit, Lord, today and every day, blessing her and her family, her families, Lord God, guiding her, leading her each step of the way to live for you, to love you more every year with all of her heart through her high school years, yes, and keep her safe, I pray. Guard her from the attacks of the enemy. I ask you to give your angels charge over her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Austin. A little more on the serious side, at least as I know him. Always telling the others, "Listen," in confirmation class. Thank you for that. I appreciated that. You are God's property. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Be safe when you're doing your rodeo. Heavenly Father, thank you for Austin. Yes, a kind young man, more quiet in nature, but yet bold for you. And help him to live for you, to stand for you, Lord, even when things are not going the right way, that you give him the courage to stand for you. And bless him and keep him safe during his rodeo years, Lord. Keep him on the horses and the bulls and whatever else it might be. I pray that you guard him and guide him through the high school years and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Zoe, always wanting to excel, which is a good thing. Thought you'd pass out today, didn't you? That's what she told me all year. And you didn't. And I told you you wouldn't. So you learn from this day. Don't be anxious. God's got you, okay? And that's your scripture. You'll need it in life. It's a beautiful promise. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, this is the promise, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful promise. Father, thank you for this young lady, Zoe Eliana. Zoe, meaning life, the life of God. And I thank you that you have filled her with your spirit, and I pray that you do so more and more every day, that your life will flow out of her in a mighty way to all her who see her and know her, and guard and guide her as well through her high school years. Father, with wisdom, guidance, direction for the plans that you have ahead, thank you for courage to serve you for this young lady in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jackson, always putting others first, making sure they have enough, such a gentle personality. That's a blessing. Sincere towards God. Your verse is Psalm 37, 5 and 6. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence as clear as the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Amen. Father, thank you for Jackson. Thank you for your spirit within him. Yes, you tell us to put others first, and I see that in him many times in many ways, and I thank you for it, Lord. Fill him with your spirit. Give him wisdom. Help him to make good and godly and righteous decisions through all of his years. Lord, all 8 of these, they're all classmates. Then let them stand together and be bold for you, strong in you and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jaden, you did it. Awesome. You did awesome. Such a big step today. This little guy knows how to work hard. Yeah. And so, Colossians 3:17, God says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, right? So whether it's spiritually for the Lord or out on the farm or at school, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Lord, I do thank you for Jade. Thank you, Father, for your work in his life, in his heart, in his spirit, in his body, as he continues to grow, not only physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. Lord, that you let him clearly understand your word and guide him and give him revelation knowledge of your word and your spirit, by your spirit. Keep him safe, Lord, as he's out working and helping with things. Help him to have strength to make decisions for you in line with your word. And let all of these classmates, stand strong together, Lord, in school, through high school, loving each other, loving their classmates, and their upperclassmen and underclassmen, and encouraging them along each and every day, finding ways to uplift one another with their words and their actions. I thank you for each family standing up here as well, and some who might not be. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One more prayer. Lots of prayers today. Father, we do give you thanks for the goodness you've shown towards these young adults today. I pray that this affirmation of their beliefs would be only the beginning of their faith journey for each one of them. Help them, Lord, to live for you and not for themselves. Keep them steady and filled with hope, never giving up, and pressing toward the goal of life everlasting with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So Ken is our consistory chairman. He has a welcome from the church as you become members of this church today.
Well, 3 years of blood, sweat, and tears comes down to this. And we all rejoice with you. It's exciting to see your happy faces, your smiles. We truly rejoice with you guys. And we extend a welcome to you guys. Get my notes out here. In the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Salem Reformed Church, I extend a hand of Christian love welcoming you into the company of this congregation. And as a church, we have a new Reformation study Bible with their names that are printed on the covers for each of them. And we just hope you remember this day forever. It's not the end, but the beginning. And continue to grow in God's love.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. If you want to bring the elements, I don't know if... Oh, Steve, okay. Yep, you can bring those down here, please. So one more thing. Thanks for hanging in here with us. This means a lot. It's such a big, big day. So this is the first time, as you heard many of them say, that they will have communion. They'll have it here with the families. That's how we do it here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this very important time in these lives of these eighth graders especially, as they've learned about this day, the meaning of the cross, all that you did for us, Lord, when you instituted this moment, the Lord's Supper, as we call it. And so, Lord, we pray over these elements, this bread representing your body, this wine and this juice representing the blood that you shed on that cross, so sacred. Let these elements be sanctified for this time and this purpose, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And so the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is for you.'" Go ahead and distribute the bread there. When you all have it, we'll take it together. And so as Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. It is incredible for us to think about. We've just come through the Lenten season and Good Friday and Resurrection Day. And this is all fresh on our minds and in our thoughts. Thank you for the cross. It says, in the same manner, if you want to get the trays with the wine, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Okay, so the inner tray is juice. The rest of the cups contain wine for whichever you prefer. It's always a matter of their discussion. Which one are they going to take? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup together. And they'll collect your cups here. Steve and Ken, praise the Lord. What a beautiful day for all of you. And then the parents, you can go back to your seats, and the confirmands come back to your chairs, and we will have our closing hymn. We don't need the microphones. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you to the kids. Good job. Praise the Lord. Our closing hymn will be "To God Be the Glory," number 56. We'll stand together and sing this in rejoicing to our Heavenly Father. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of God, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. Much to rejoice about. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you want to greet the kids, we'll be standing out here towards the narthex, so you guys can all come follow me, okay? Have a wonderful day.